Prayer is a powerful weapon. Praise is a powerful weapon. Come on, standing up all over the church, I want to take you to two passages of scripture. I'm not even going to try to sit up here and lie to you about the time. I was going to do it, but then I checked myself. Just tell them the truth. Just tell them what it is. I want to share this word. I think it's important for you to hear. And I don't want to rush what God gave me, if that's all right. I promise we'll get there, and I promise it'll be worth the extra time that you take to hear what God has to say to you. I want to take you to Haggai, the second chapter. Now, I know that's a little much for some of you, because it's Old Testament. So I'm also going to take you to Hebrews 12 so that you can understand with clarity what the Lord is saying to us. Haggai, second chapter, verse 6 says this: "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." "And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." I want to take you to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Verse 26. Verse 26. It'll all make sense in a second. The Bible says, Hebrews 12, verse 26, "At this time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The word "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Look at your neighbor and say, "God is about to shake it loose." Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear from you, to receive wisdom, understanding, knowledge, to get clarity for our confusion, to know without a shadow of a doubt that everything's going to be all right. Speak to us, Father. Give us that word that changes not some things but everything. And in the process, may that word cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. May it transform us as we renew our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive the word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do. Father, this is your house. We are your people. And we will give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. If you'll agree with that prayer, say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I know you want to smile and turn to your neighbor, but we ain't got time for that right now. We got time for that right now. We started off in the book of Haggai simply because it is the beginning, it is the precedent of what God is promising to perform that the Hebrew writer picks up in the book of Hebrews. The Hebrew writer picks it up, and as he picks it up, he picks it up in contrast with Mount Sinai. And the reason why he picks it up in contrast of Mount Sinai is because the entire book of Hebrews is to convince the Hebrew people that they are coming into a better covenant built on better promises. The reason that there is a better covenant built on better promises is because of the mediator, Jesus Christ, who has taken or transcended the Aaronic priesthood and taken on the order of the Melchizedek priesthood, which was a much better order. In other words, he's transcending the whole concept of getting in touch with God through these mediators who had to take the place of the people in order to have an audience with God. But through Jesus Christ, we now can go boldly before the throne of grace without any mediation, because he has broken down the middle wall partition between man and God. That means that when we come to God through Jesus Christ, God does not see our blemishes. He does not see our mess ups. He does not see our mishaps. All he sees is us covered in the blood of the Lamb. To boot, he's given us his spirit, which bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. That when we are hard-pressed and afflicted on every side and we don't know what to pray or what to do, it is the Spirit that goes into making intercession for us. Moreover, when God is not sure that we belong to him because we don't act like it, the Bible says the Spirit bears a witness that we are the sons of God. And you have to understand that concept and that promise that God has given us and all the tools to move our lives forward, so that when God says he's about to do something epic in your life, you have a certain anticipation and an expectancy of what's about to go down. In other words, you come into the knowledge with all the saints, what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of God. You understand that what God is promising you is based on his love, not based on your performance. You come to understand and equate that God loves you so much that he promises things like, I'll do something epic. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not know it? Because he's trying to leap his people forward. The Hebrew writer comes to us and he contrasts Mount Sinai with Mount Zion as a wonderful picture, because he says you've not come to the mountain who cannot be touched. Because in the old covenant, the children of Israel, as they came out of Egypt, came to Mount Zion, but the request from God, the stipulation was you could not touch this mountain. If you got close to the mountain, if you touched it, you're going to die. That was kind of harsh. And there were seven theophanies, if you will, of pictures of God in that process, that his voice was like the sound of a trumpet's blast, and that when he spoke, it was like thunder, and there was fire, and there was smoke, so much so that it caused the people to tremble to meet with God. And so Mount Sinai, in contrast to Mount Zion, was a place of terror. But Mount Sinai is nothing like Mount Zion. Mount Zion, according to the Hebrew writer, is the place where God dwells. And the Hebrew writer starts off and says that you've not come to the place of terror, of doom and gloom, but you've come to the place where God dwells. You have to understand that God, right now, in this moment, and in this season of your life, is bringing you to the place where he dwells. This is not a place for you to fear. This is not a place for you to be frightened. This is not a place for you to be discouraged. This is not a place for you to worry. This is not a place for you to live in the past. This is not a place for you to worry that it's going to go bad the way it went bad the last time. This is a place for you to understand that God is bringing me to a place where he dwells, which means he wants to be involved and intricately wrapped in all the affairs and the details of my life. And as he's caused me to step out into some territory and some places where I don't have all of the information, and I feel confused and I feel discombobulated and I feel like everything is falling apart, God sent me to tell you that it's not falling apart, it's actually falling into place. And if you would just trust the dwelling place that he's bringing you to, you will see that you have not been brought to Mount Sinai, you're being brought to Mount Zion. Mount Sinai, we all have one. a past experience that went absolutely horribly wrong, that you thought you wanted God to do something, and then when he started unfolding it in your life, the cost was too much for you, and you decided you were better off not pursuing what God told you to pursue. So you put it on the back burner, and you put your significance on the shelf, and you went and buried yourself under the covers, and you hid behind your dreams and your intentions and your aspirations because the cost was too heavy, that you couldn't pay that price. It was an awful experience. The relationship didn't go well. The business plan didn't happen the way you wanted to. It was an epic failure. And I came to tell somebody that God is about to transcend, totally transform epic failures, my God, into epic moments of your life where you will experience joy and you will experience peace. The thing that you have to understand about God is that he always gives you his peace before he gives you his answer. And when you get to a place in him where you have complete and total peace, yet you don't have the answers, it is a prophetic indicator that the answer is about to show up. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I believe I'm in a room full of people who've been waiting for some answers. And God told me to tell you, since you're at peace, get ready for the answer. We've all experienced these failures, these epic blunders, and we've all had them. We know what that feels like. And oftentimes when we hear that God is about to do something epically wonderful in our life, we are filled with thoughts of joy and of peace, thinking that there's not going to be any price involved. Touch your neighbor and say, there's always a price involved. There's always a price involved. This is the deceptive nature of grace. The deceptive nature of grace will make you think and believe that it's free. Grace is unmerited. It means it's unearned, but it ain't free. It's going to cost you trust, and trust is expensive. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. It's going to cost you the ability. If y'all try to sit on this thing right now, I'm telling you, you're going to miss everything that God has for your life. I'm trying to tell you right now, you got to focus in on what God is saying to you right now. He's saying that I need you to trust me. Yes, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust is very, very expensive. The reason trust is expensive is because you have to step out and to believe that God has your best interest at heart when you don't have the details, when you don't have the data, when you don't have all of the facts. All you have is the history. And in that, you have to understand, you have to look at your past with a purposeful perspective, seeing the God of your present as the God of your past, the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if you don't have that type of perspective, you'll never be able to pay the price. The same God that got you through what you went through, that caused you the pain, is going to be the same God that gets you through this next season of your life. Don't start reading your past as a textbook for tyrants. Start reading your past as an indicator that God did it before. And if he did it before, then what makes me think he won't do it again? And so because we don't have that type of perspective on past history, we use the past, my God, as a tool to disillusion us. And therefore, our present experiences are dissatisfied and our future outcomes are dissatisfied because we create this worry zone within our minds and within our heart. You heard me say this before, worry will never leave your life. You got to evict it. And because of that, we start to try to create back to the future scenarios. And so when we are reading the text, my God, in the book of Hebrews, we're reading a back to the future concept because the Hebrew writer is trying to tie their past to their present experience. And he's saying that your present experience is not going to go down like it did in the past. Yes, it was messed up. Yes, it wasn't right. Yes, you didn't have it all together. Yes, it didn't unfold. But it was that experience. It was that encounter that let you know who God really is. It was that encounter that built a trust in your heart and in your mind that though he slay me, y'all are not here with me, yet shall I trust him. And you had to learn how to trust him. And so he picks up and he says, you've come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion, my God, wasn't a place of peace all the time. This was the place. We know Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the place where Abraham comes to sacrifice Isaac. This is Mount Moriah. We all know that story. We know that God calls him to sacrifice his promise, and then all of a sudden, as he gets to the mountain to sacrifice his promise, God says, don't touch the boy because there's a ram in the bush. When you come to Mount Zion, you got to understand that God will never ask you to kill your promise, but just trust the process enough that if it requires you to let it go, that you can let it go, believing that the same God that gave it to you the first time can give you another Isaac if you got to sacrifice it. But you ain't got to kill your promise because God says, I put a ram in the bush. The same time you were climbing up the mountain was the same time that the ram was climbing up the other side. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, get ready to come into divine provision. I need you to get this down in your spirit. I need y'all to turn my microphone up, and I need everybody to stop sitting on this word. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, get ready for divine provision. Get ready for a level of provision that you cannot calculate, that you cannot explain. The same time of your rough process is the same time divine provision. It's about to meet you at your place of sacrifice. It's going to cost you. Mount Zion always cost you. Abraham had to bring Isaac there. It cost you. David had to buy this place because there was a plague going on in his kingdom. See, the deceptive nature of grace makes you believe that you ain't never going to go through nothing. God, it makes you believe that everything's going to be hunky-dory and it's going to come up as a bed of roses. I came to tell somebody that is a false prophecy. God, whoever is telling you the moment you get saved, everything's going to be all right, lied to you. The moment you get saved and start doing things for God, all hell breaks loose in your life. The moment you decide to go after what God told you to do, all hell breaks loose. The devil throws the stove. He stole the kitchen sink, the refrigerator, the pipes, and everything else at you. But you got to learn how to endure hardship like a good soldier and know that he that has begun a good work in you shall bring it to completion. Slap your neighbor high five and say, get ready for divine provision. Get ready for divine provision. Divine provision is provision you didn't account for. Divine provision is provision that you received because you wasn't even looking for it. It happens serendipitously. It's by accident, but it's on purpose. You collide with it. You run right into it. You're looking for it, but not really. You need it, but you let it go. You learn how to be abased and you learn how to abound, but you become content in all things because you understood I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Who am I preaching to up in here? My God, and when you run into divine provision, it sets you up to become the people of a leap that your whole life leaps forward. Slap your neighbor high five and say your whole life is about to leap forward. Even though it's infinitesimal, even though it's a small move, your whole life is about to leap forward. David is king. And he's king of Israel, and he's becoming king over all of Israel, not just Judah. And now he wants to count when God gives him divine provision. When God gives David divine provision, he wants to count. He wants to count how many people he had, because for 8 years he was the king of Judah. Now all of a sudden he's the king of all of Israel. He got more people, he got more resources, and he wants to count. And the prophet came to David and said, don't count God's people. The reason I don't want you to count is because I don't want you counting on stuff that in the long run is not your source. God is your source. Everything else is a resource. And if you start counting on people, you're not going to count on God. And your expectation is going to be diminished, and you're not going to be anticipating God doing anything new. Because you'll start living your life based on what people do for you and what people promise you. Oh, y'all not talking back to me in here. And then when they don't come through, you blame God. God ain't got nothing to do with what people told you. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, then he gonna do it. Oh, I felt that down in my toes. I dare you look at your name and say, God about to do it. He about to do it at a whole nother dimension. He's about to do it. What you've been praying for, he's about, oh God, I feel that thing in my spirit. What you've been believing for, he's about to do it. See, David doesn't want to become a person of the leap. He doesn't want God to give him this epic movement, this quantum leap, this sudden advancement forward. He wants to count on the people. And when he counts on the people, when the word of the Lord came and said, don't count, he did it anyway. And when he started counting, God started plucking them off. There was a plague that happened in the land and people start dying off. I know you're saying, that's harsh, God. God said, don't count. Because when you start counting on resources, those resources go away. Oh, God. Ask Elijah, who was sitting by the brook, and God said, get up and go to Zarephath. And because if he didn't obey, that he was not going to have no resources, because God said, the brook dried up. God will dry up some stuff in your life. Y'all not in here with me. So that you can learn it's going to cost you some trust. He starts plucking the people off and they start dying off. I'm getting there. He starts plucking the people off, they start dying off, and it's a plague, and he doesn't know what to do. And he's saying, is this what favor looks like? Is this what highly favored and blessed of the Lord looks like? Is this what God will bless the righteous, and with his favor he shall surround them as with a shield? See, what do you do? What do you do when all hell break loose in your life and God is still telling you got favor and you got grace and your life don't look like grace? Y'all not in here with me. You'll start thinking you ain't got it. Look at your name and say, you got it, you got it, you got it, you got it, you got it. It's just that you ain't lived it. Y'all ain't in here with me. You got it, but you ain't lived it. See, it's one thing to have grace. It's another thing to live grace. And when you live grace, there's a greater appreciation for the value of what you got. You haven't lived it. You have no lived experience of what you're talking about. You come to church, you shout about it, and you dance about it, but when the rubber meets the road, You have no lived experience. David is getting a lived experience, and he says, how do I get out of this plague? And the Bible says the prophet tells him, go down to the threshing floor. The threshing floor was on Mount Moriah. This is Mount Zion. And he goes to the threshing floor, and he buys the place. Look at your name and say, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. He spends 600 shekels of gold, which was equated to today's money. It says $600,000. If you think about it prophetically, six is the number of man. It's going to cost you to come to the end of yourself. And if you can come to the end of yourself, you can purchase what God really has for you. But you got to get to the end of yourself. Y'all not in here with me. Before God will release what he has for you in the heavenlies. David buys Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah becomes Mount Zion because this is where Solomon builds the temple. It becomes one of the most important locations in the world. Solomon builds this temple. The temple is destroyed by the Babylonian Empire. And as the temple is destroyed, Israel is decimated because they're scattered. The word of the Lord told the people, I'm going to scatter you, but there's going to come a time where I reassemble you, where I'm going to do something so epic that the glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the former house. This is where we come to the book of Haggai, because the people are disheartened and they're disenchanted simply because the work that they have to do. So they're doing duty and they're doing work, but they're doing it with no passion. They're coming back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple that was torn down on Mount Moriah, on Mount Zion. And as they're doing the work, they're disheartened because their own houses are broken down. So they start focusing on their own houses and they stop focusing on the house of God. They start focusing on their own affairs. affairs and they stop focusing on the affairs of God. They get preoccupied with everything that's going on in their life and they stop doing what God is asking them to do. You don't understand. It's not that they stop working. It's not that they stop worshiping. It's that they do it, but they do it with no passion. They still go to the house of the Lord, but they have no passion. They still work in the ministry, but they have no passion. My God, they still serve, but they have no passion. They're doing it, but they're complaining about doing it. They're doing it, but they don't like doing it. They're doing it out of obligation, but they're not doing it out of love. Y'all not in here with me. And Haggai comes to them and says, God is about to shake the heavens once more. And when he shakes the heavens, he's going to remove some stuff. When you hear the word remove, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it is not a negative connotation. The word remove actually means to leap forward. God says, don't look at removing as subtraction. Look at removing as a leap forward. In other words, the reason I'm going to remove some things, I'm going to remove everything that you tried to build by a human hand, and I'm going to replace it with everything that is a divine provision. Y'all not in here with me. I'm going to cause you to leap, not because of your human contrivance, but I'm going to cause you to leap because of what I want to do by divine purpose. When you come into divine provision, you step into divine purpose. And when God purposes something divinely, no devil in hell can stop it. My God, no individual can mess it up. And what you're about to come into, God is trying to get me to tell you, you can't even mess it up. Y'all not in here with me. What you're about to come into, God sent me. I'm in a prophetic mode right now. Just hear what I'm saying. God sent me to tell you, you can't even mess it up. Your haters can't mess it up. Your critics can't mess it up. Your family can't mess it up. We all recall the wonderful 80s movie Back to the Future series 1, 2, and 3. We all know who Marty McFly is, and we all know who Doc is. And we understand that Doc created a time machine to be able to want to go back in time and travel to see how we got to where we are. When there's a trust issue, we all create this back to future scenario where we're trying to go back and fix things that are over. The problem with going back into the past is that it disrupts your future. Because if you change anything in your past, as we learned in the movie, it's going to cause something, a ripple effect in your destiny that God has already set up for you down the road. And it's going to change the course and the outcomes, y'all not in here with me, of your life. So through that framework of looking at that movie, you and I can't be busy worrying about our houses and our issues and our stuff and what happened to us 5 years ago and 2 years ago. And they hurt me and they didn't let me serve. I'm going to speak prophetically to my church for a minute, and they didn't let me serve, and they don't know my gift, and I wish they had more structure, and why don't we have this ministry? If you keep going back and complaining about what you got, you won't take a leap forward into the future that God has for your life and understand that just maybe God brought you here to help with some of the stuff, y'all not in here with me, that is missing from the process. Maybe God brought you to your job to help that company with some of the stuff, y'all not in here with me. That is not a part of the process. And if you could be patient enough and trust the grace that God has on your life, you could do something powerful. Haggai is trying to speak to them, and he's trying to speak to them in such a prophetic way because he's trying to let them know, why are you so focused? I'm almost there. Why are you so focused with what's going on in your home? And he says, once more, that means he did it before. Once more, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to shake the heavens and I'm going to shake the earth. The Hebrew writer adds something to the and give it more flavor. He says, I'm going to shake everything that can be shook. And then I'm going to make sure what can't be shaken remains. So he ups the ante as the people decide to pay the cost, to pay the price, my God, to step into Mount Zion, because it always costs you something. And when it costs you something, you let go of what you had in mind to embrace what God had in mind, and then take your fingerprint off of it. So when God does something epic, it only has God's DNA all over it. So that when you begin to testify about what happened, you say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I know I'm talking to somebody in here. Here's the point of where I want to go. He says, so here's what I want to do. I want you to understand I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. And then what cannot be shaken, I'm going to make sure that it remains. He says, because you come to a kingdom that can't be shaken. That means every promise God gave you cannot be shook. Everything that God told you is going to happen in your life cannot be shook. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shake the stuff. I'm going to remove it. I'm going to cause you to leap. And in the leap, everything that tried to attach itself to you that doesn't have the ability to come to the kingdom that cannot be shaken is going to get shook loose up off of you. Did you hear what I just said? You got burdens and you got people and you got mindsets and you got habits and you got stuff attached to your life. But God said, I'm about to shake it loose. I don't know about you, but I need some stuff shook loose off my life. Slap your neighbor, high five, and say, debt's about to be shook loose. I wish I had somebody in here. Ah, God, debt's about to be shook loose. Discouragement is about to be shook loose. Depression is about to be shook loose. Oppression is about to be shook loose. Doubt is about to be shook loose. Fear is about to be shook. God said, I'm going to shake the heavens and I'm going to shake the earth. And when I do it, it's going to be a great transfer. Because you trusted me this long, you passed the test. You let me tell you no. You let me hold it back. You let me keep you waiting. And you waited on the Lord. And I'm about to renew your strength. Who am I talking to up in here? And when I shake the heavens, I'm going to shake everything loose that you're supposed to have down here. And when I shake the earth, I'm going to shake everything loose that don't need to be attached to you. Slap your neighbor high five and say, it's a great transfer. Oh God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout transfer. Shout it again, transfer. God said, I'm about to take the spirit of heaviness up off of you. And when I transfer this shaking, you're going to put on the garment of praise. Everything in your life is going to be wrapped in praise. Oh God. And you're going to walk around saying, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continue. Somebody shout transfer. I dare you to touch three people and say transfer, 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 debits for credits, transfer, transfer, debt for provision, transfer, transfer, health for sickness, transfer, transfer, beauty for ashes, transfer. God said, I'm going to shake it. And he gives you the reason why I'm going to shake it. I'm going to shake it so that the thing, don't sit down, I'm done. I'm going to shake it so that what cannot be shook remains. Can I have 3 minutes of church? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God's about to shake it loose. And when he shakes it loose, what's supposed to be in my life will stay in my life. And what's supposed to leave my life is going to leave my life. Slap him again and say, shake it loose. Shake it loose. Shake loose my business. Shake loose my marriage. Shake loose. Oh, I dare you to grab somebody by the hand and say, God is shaking it loose. And with every shake, it's a provision. And with every shake, it's a blessing. And with every shake, God is shaking it. So you've been uncomfortable. You've been downright confused. You've been saying, God, when you gonna show up? God, when is it gonna come? And God said, if you can be still and know that I am God, and if you can trust me in the shaking, when it's all said and done, y'all, I wish I had somebody in here, you're gonna see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I feel like preaching, for I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him. So I gotta believe and I gotta act and I gotta think that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. So now unto him. Now, oh God, I felt that. Somebody shout now. Not tomorrow. My God, I feel the anointing of the Holy. Not next year. Somebody shout now. It's not happening tomorrow. It's happening now. It's happening on your next shout. It's happening on your next praise. It's happening on your next worship. It's happening on your next dance. It's happening now. It's happening now. It's happening. Ah! I hear you, Holy Ghost. 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 What you do now. I had some alliteration. I didn't even. What you do now determine what happens next. I'm gonna make the devil mad. I'm just gonna make the devil mad. Our church is in great transition. And there's about to be a unique transfer to this body because we passed the test. 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 And one of the things you got to understand as being a member of this church, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about us. And if you would get your mind off of your stuff and get your mind off of what God is doing and his stuff, you'll be part of this great transfer. If you forget your sealed houses, then your pockets won't have holes in them. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Because when God shakes the heavens and the earth, he wants to leave stuff in your life that remains. Fruit that remains. And the reason I said I'm going to make the devil mad is because I know this church is in great transition. And whenever you're in transition, you don't know what comes next. You want clarity and you want stability. And you want to know for sure that if you risk believing what God said and stepping out, that you could potentially lose what you got. And so you start reading the textbook of tyrants, which is called the past. And you start relying on past things. And you bring past paradigms to a new movement. And you stop God from doing something epic in your life. I'm gonna make the devil mad because I'm tired of talking myself out of stuff. So personally, I'm going to take myself my own leap. And you ain't got to do it. This is just for me. I don't care. I'm going to take my own leap because I'm constantly talking myself out of stuff. God's trying to do something epic, and I'm sitting there going, why me? Can't you find somebody greater? It should be somebody else. Now, I sit and look at my life. I had a conversation on the phone last night with my spiritual father that helped me understand this. So I decided when I came in here today, I'm going to take my own leap forward. And what you fail to understand that as your leader, whatever's on the head is on the body. So if I leap, if you're still in your seat, you are crazy. I would get to leap. Grab your neighbor by the hand. I feel the Lord. I'm not afraid. All I want to do for the rest of my life is tear the devil's kingdom down. So this church is about to take a leap. And God gave me a vision. And he spoke to my spirit. He said, don't you be afraid. Take the leap. So we're raising up this church. And we're moving out to impact the region. There are four gateways to this city and one important corridor. And God said, I want you to put a church in every gateway and in every corridor. And in the next year, we're going to strategize and plan on how we can develop our new home campus, and we will have a total of four campuses for this church. And we will raise up ministers, preachers of the gospel, to be vanguards over this region. And we will see a harvest of souls. And we will change lives. And what we do here will impact the world. I am not afraid anymore. God is going to give us divine provision because we have divine purpose. This is not by human contrivance, but this is by divine command. So God is filling his horn with oil. He's filling his horn with oil. When Samuel went to anoint Saul, he anointed Saul with a flask. A flask is a man-made container that is limiting. When Samuel went to anoint David at Jesse's house, he had a horn. A ram's horn. And he filled it with oil. The ram is always indicative of something divine, which means it's not limiting. And this is why God touched my heart and said, raise up ministers, train them, train leaders. And I didn't know why. And he would show me a dream of all these tools on the floor in this big, great toolbox. And I would trip over the tools. And they were frustrating to me, and I was mad. I was trying to figure out who left these darn tools on the floor. And what God was saying to me is that you have all the tools, you don't have a box. people with giftings and talents. And I have no box. And so we're all in here scattered on the floor. So God says, I'll shake the heavens. And I'll shake the earth. And whatever remains is what belongs. And whatever can't take the shaking, get to step in. Because I am dead serious. Dead serious. About removing the dark atmosphere over this region. That's governed by a spirit of murder and exacerbated by a segregated economy. So God is raising up vanguards, frontline folk who take ministry seriously, who understand this is not a game, but it is life. And it is death. And so I make the devil mad. I make him mad because in my mind I shouldn't be saying what I'm saying. Because I should be going back and strategizing and figure out how we're going to do it before I tell the collective church. But guess what? We leap today. We leap. We leap in the spirit. And as we leap in the spirit, we leap in our homes and our houses and in our businesses. God is going to raise us up. And we will walk in divine prosperity like you have never seen, so that we can fund and do the work of the ministry. So that the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. Father, I thank you for this moment of covenant. I thank you for this divine shaking. I thank you for what you set in order today. I declare it among your people. I say boldly and without shame, I am not afraid. I accept your invitation. Shake us, God. Shake us until everything that doesn't belong in our life falls off. Shake us until we walk so heavy that demons tremble when we come. Shake us. Found a church. You have found a people whose heart is towards you. So show up strong, Jesus. Do what only you can do in our lives and through our lives. We give ourselves to you. Touch somebody who is here today. They have been being shook. Comfort them with these words. The shaking is on purpose. It is God that's doing the shaking. And if he's doing the shaking, everything's going to be all right. So I declare to this people, everything is going to be all right. We love you, Lord. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Come on, bless the Lord. I don't know what to do from here, so I'm sorry. I'll tell you what I'll do. You want to belong to a church like that? You want to be a part of a movement? You don't have a home church, maybe you've been coming. There's some of you in here, you're really not connected. You need to connect. This is not about bragging about our numbers. This is about becoming part of a force to be reckoned with. This is about being a part of a movement that loves God and loves God's people and loves people, period, that want to serve, that want to offer our gifts unto the Lord. This is a safe place where no one will manipulate you. No one will maliciously harm you. This is a safe place for your family. This is a safe place for your marriage. This is a safe place for you to grow in the things of God. And if you don't have a home church, you don't have a pastor, I would be honored to be your pastor. And this is your opportunity to come and be a part of what the Lord is doing. If you've been here and been disconnected and you want to reconnect, I want to just greet you. So come on down here and let's welcome you to the family. Come on, KLC. 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 I know I ain't preach y'all that tired. Come on, church. Hallelujah. I want to say this. I want to say welcome. I want to say to you that I am honored to take the responsibility to be your pastor. I want the job, to be quite honest, qualified for it. I promise to preach to you the word of God without compromise. I will never manipulate you with it. I will never request of you something that I'm not willing to do myself. I will steward you properly. I can promise you that. A year from now, you won't recognize your life. Your enemies are our enemies. And all of us in this room, we got your back. Welcome to Kingdom Life Church. God bless you. Here's what I want you to do. See this wonderful lady, Minister Gertrude Wilson. I want you to turn and go with her. She's going to give you some valuable information about the decision you just made. Kingdom Life, welcome. All of these wonderful people for joining our church. Were you blessed? I messed up. I messed up. I need to go sit down somewhere. I got to do a baby dedication or something. Come on, lift those hands into the Lord. Father, we thank you for what you spoke over our lives. We thank you for what you're doing. We have not come to Mount Sinai. We've come to Mount Zion. We're in your dwelling place. And in your dwelling place, there is divine provision. There is divine purpose. Father, we let go of the past. We let go of all of the things that we complain about and hurt us. All of our misunderstandings, all of our frustrations. Shake it loose. Shake it loose. Loose everything that you have for us. Every promise, every blessing. Shake loose every impediment, every roadblock, every hindrance. Bless us according to your word. Let your face shine upon us and give us peace. Surround us with your favor like a shield. And let your angels encamp themselves round about us. Cover us with your blood from down to eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you on Wednesday night.